tide is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Welcome to Lent. We're now Lent, officially yes. In the season of Lent. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, we just...
And I'm lying.
Yeah, it's... Well, we're supposed to be here on Tuesday, but because of the snow, I'm here, but everybody else was out, and we were all snowed in. It's a sad. I think it's obvious for anybody who listens that we're conservatives. I'm at this point. I don't know why. Perhaps I would be reluctant to say that before because you.
I think even now it's kind of when you say it. I get that cringe only because of what it implies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And but what it implies is something good, but they've made it it's how
for
it's,
now maybe, but it's well, slowly it, becoming not.
Right,
good.
Exactly. And so with all the stuff going on in this country and in the nation and the world and even some of the stuff going on in the church, it's like you've got a as we've said many, many times, I've said many, many times that we're being pushed to the fringe of society and in many ways demonized for basically adhering to the gospel message, to the sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. And we're certainly, I've said so often, we're passing through a diabolical disorientation.
Yeah.
And I think, as you came in this morning, we were talking about the death of Rush Limbaugh. And I know he was an icon. I mean, he was loved by so many, and there were so many who absolutely...
I see, that's an amazing thing, too, because, and I was telling you, Father, I'm just devastated for reasons I can't even begin to ponder, and I have been pondering them for a day or so now already, but it is interesting how the people that love you will talk well about you. You want to live a life where people have gotten something, your presence here meant something. But when you hear these other people, and again, This dawned on me when I was going through just the news and just listening to the people that knew Rush, talking about Rush. And although I've never met the man, I feel so close to him because we've spent so much time together on the radio. And it's my love of radio. It's my love of, the things he's said. And I guess what I was trying to, I don't like the making somebody a god after they've gone.
Yeah, right.
But it is interesting how the people that knew him said so many things that anybody that listened to him would have to know it's true. There's no possible way, it couldn't. But then you hear the one person that says the most vile things.
Right.
It's the shame about it is this is a person on a show, on the radio, and Rush Limbaugh, He paved the way for all of this.
Right.
So, I mean, hate or love the man, and I begin to think even still, there's many people I don't like. Dare I say, there might be some people that I hate. But when they've left this earth, I don't think it's right to say something so vile about them.
Well, I think that's the kind of the...
And it's sickening.
The reason why I think it's really for all of us who adhere to the faith and, yeah, and have love for the country. Thank you, Jasmine. And that's I guess that's what I'm trying. I'm maybe at a loss for words here, but I think that the one thing about well, there's many things about Rush Limbaugh, mm-hmm, but he most definitely loved the United States.
Yeah.
He loved people. He was a conservative. We're conservatives, which means what? To conserve what has been handed down to us. It's he was a man of faith. He had a. In fact, you know, especially in the past year that as he's been suffering the going through treatment for the cancer, he. He spoke often. I didn't get to listen to him a lot, you know, but
he did.
You did, yeah.
I did a lot.
And but I did catch, you know, if I was in a car or something, mm-hmm, I always would have him on, and sometimes in my room, you know, as I'm eating, mm-hmm, lunch. But the way he spoke, his faith, he was unapologetically a Christian, a believer, and the way he even approached his impending death, even though he fought the good fight, was really quite admirable.
And see, he loved the audience.
He loved the people.
He wanted to be on, you know, he wanted to be there every day. He felt a need, you know. It's like, you know how they say sometimes, you know, when you have a show and you're not having, you didn't give it 100%. He gave 100% all the time, and even through this, is the thing that really, and it's like, I would always think, oh gosh, you know, what an example, right. An example without being an example. You know, right. It's like, these are the things I think people, you know, look up to, want to take. And I think about even some of the other things and the things other people say, how you look and you say, okay, wow, why did you say that? And how could you say one thing that the hypocritical way of some of these people, it's just,
well, this is that diabolical disorientation. Yeah. Without saying that somebody is diabolically possessed, I would never say that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's,
sure
some,
looks
but there's
like
something, there's an evil that would malign so viciously a person like Rush Limbaugh, and mm-hmm, you know, or even President Trump for, mm-hmm, all his rough edges,
see,
and all that.
And that's the thing too, and that's what I've learned to do just by the one thing Rush always did kind of teach is go learn for yourself. You know, I never looked at Rush Limbaugh as a god or somebody that I believe 100% of what he says, because I didn't believe everything he said, but he wasn't there to have me believe everything he said. He was there to give information. He was there to give opinion. And, you know, even his opinions, I might not have agreed with, but when I saw, wow, he's spot on. And that was one thing that's kind of crushed me now, because whatever goes on, whether it's anything in the political arena, you always want to, what would Rush say? I would wait till Monday to hear what he had to say. Only because I wanted him to tell me what to think,
but
I wanted to know what he thought.
What he thought, his perspective.
So it's like, it's sadly, sadly going to be missed in more ways than one. And I think about even like Donald Trump now, President Trump, they're still talking about him
because
they know that that's how these people have maybe cemented their career.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You just, I've never before experienced as I do now, this manifestation of hate.
Yeah.
You use the word hate yourself, and I don't think you really hate. I think we hate certain things,
right,
about, you know, I hate certain behaviors and all that.
Yeah.
But to viciously attack and malign, and of course, you know, Trump is a guy that he would fight back, and
mm-hmm,
but Russia's anyway. I want to start this series on prayer today.
Yeah, but, I'm sorry.
It's a loss, because right now when everything is upside down, you kind of gravitate toward persons, be they media people, politicians, church leaders, who give us a sense of not only sanity, mm-hmm. but hope in that everything is going to eventually work out well. Mm-hmm. And God says, certainly Jesus says, that for those who love God, all things work for the good. And but that doesn't mean that we can't be naive about the reality of evil, and that we are we're affected. We're mm-hmm. very much affected, and so this kind of infiltration, this indoctrination of ideologies, and this attempt to almost overtly de-Christianize the nation is extremely disturbing. And that's why I guess I think I, as I began, I said, you know, I say we're conservatives. It's why hide that reality? I mean, that's, I suspect people know that. I mentioned that at Mass, what, a couple of weeks ago or maybe a month ago. I don't recall mm-hmm. when, but, you know, that I'm a conservative. I'm a proud American. I mean, today you have to say that. I mean, we've got to say that. We can't be shouted into silence or pushed to the fringe or demonized because we adhere to an ideology that has been time tried and tested, right? Mm-hmm. It's a Judeo-Christian philosophy of life. It's about God and faith and family and you know, the proper ordering of things in a naturally disordered world. But in fact, we'll say the prayer, then we'll take a break, and the reading actually today, and as we go into Lent, it really speaks to the very thing that that I'm thinking, and that we have to, is now that we're in this season of Lent and in this very strange time we're going through, to unapologetically give witness to our faith. This isn't the beat the Bible over the head of people, but to stand in pride, not a sinful pride, but a pride in the fact that we are a redeemed people. We're people who have been saved by the blood of the cross, and we've been given a mandate, a mission, and the blueprint's been laid out for us. This is how we're to live our lives, and God must be the center. He must be the foundation. And if he's not, then we're gonna bring ourselves to ruin. And so going back to Rush, you gravitate toward those persons who reinforce mm-hmm. The Judeo-Christian foundation upon which the nation was built. So long as we remain true to our founding fathers, then we have cause for hope, and we've got the means to correct injustices and to correct ourselves. Because we have a point and a person of reference, and that is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself fully in Jesus Christ. And this is, but when we deviate from that, then, you know, we open the door to all kinds of strange ways of believing and living, and this is what, you know, what's been the leftist, a very liberal leftist ideology, which tends to be in many ways rather atheistic, or if it is, if there is a God, it's a God that's been recreated in the image of man, fallen man, rather than, you know, that we look to the higher standard. So I don't. This is a very strange and difficult time, and you hear it everywhere. I mean, you know, it's not. At times, I think, well, am I being overly pessimistic or? But no, everywhere I go, everybody I talk to, you listen, it's the same thing. And then you got these extreme. I would say the liberal leftist ideology is extreme insofar as it seems to have no moral basis to it. And so there can be that vile, hateful hypocrisy, the deceit, the lying, the demonization, the fact that we're in what's commonly called now the cancel culture. Yeah. When I was just reading, just heard today that the city of Chicago, that how many statues are under investigation right now in the city of Chicago? I think something like over 40 statues.
Yeah.
Even Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Well, that tells you that something is really not, something's really awry.
I would never, when did this become a point of, well, this statue offends me?
The cancel. Yeah. What do they call that? Cancel culture?
Whatever.
Cancel culture.
Whatever. I don't even think giving it a name is even worth something. It's just, it's ridiculous.
It's to de-Christianize and to de-patriotize.
Mm-hmm.
Dehumanize. Anyway, let's pray the Angelus, and then we'll take a break and we'll come back and I'll go into some of the readings, perhaps from yesterday and today. And then I want to move into this through Lent. I want to really speak about prayer,
mm-hmm.
because this is if we don't pray,
yeah.
if we're not praying, then we're not nurturing a right relationship with God. And again, our God is a God who is demanding. He's not a permissive God. He's a demanding God. He's as I say, Jesus has laid out the blueprint. He's told us, this is how you're to live. This is who you are. You belong to me. Certainly, we are sinners. His mercy is his greatest attribute. But as he said, we're to pray unceasingly, pray constantly. That means to live always having God before us. And that is, again, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. It's the Trinitarian God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons in one God. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, made by his passion and cross, be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll take a break. We'll come back and want to talk about prayer, which is absolutely necessary for our survival, our salvation, our sanctification, and our contribution to the proper ordering of things in a world that is increasingly disordered because it's moving farther and farther away from God and God's truth. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener-Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDC.
You are invited to a series of Father Anthony's reflections on prayer entitled Lex Orandi, Lex Credendi, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. These reflections will be presented each Thursday during Lent, beginning today on Winds of Change. Join us at noon weekdays on AM 750. You can also download the podcast and listen anytime to Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan Lakoska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. As you heard in the break, what I'd like to do, on certainly on Thursdays, but probably on other days during Lent as well, because there's really a lot to talk about, and that is to speak about prayer, because it's the, you know, if we're not praying, we're not nurturing a relationship with God. And so what I actually intended to do this last year, because I was actually going to do this retreat days in the parish in English and in Spanish, on the whole topic of prayer. Taking this is from the last part of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So I think that the beginning, the Catechism is broken off into 4 parts. So first, the beginning is the creed, what we believe, and then I believe it's the sacraments. And then the third section, I believe, is the commandments of God. And the last section is a section on prayer. And I think it's very, very well written, very beautiful, and it's all-encompassing. And so what I'd like to do is, through Lent, at least on Thursdays, but perhaps on other days as well, break down the different chapters, in a sense, from the Catechism. So there's, you know, it'll be like gift and covenant, communion, which is what I want to talk about today. Also the battle of prayer, you know, the struggle. Prayer is a combat. That would be a topic for discussion. The revelation of prayer, the universal call to prayer, going back to the Old Testament, to creation, Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah. I've got the beautiful prayer of Solomon, the prophets, you know, the Psalms. So that's the universal call to prayer. Prayer is really should be something very natural, very normal to our lives. And then, of course, in the fullness of time, the Messianic age inaugurated how Jesus prayed. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Jesus hears our prayer, the prayer of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then we move into the age of the church. You know, blessing and adoration, prayer of petition, prayer of intercession, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of praise, at the wellspring of prayer, the Word of God. You know, we'll go into, you know, the word from where prayer comes, the way to pray, guides for prayer, places for prayer, expressions of prayer, and then finally end with the Lord's Prayer, which we've talked about before, the 7 petitions. Of the Our Father, but that'll take us through certainly the weeks of Lent, at least on Thursday, but it perhaps on other days as well. But certainly on Thursdays, I want to dedicate the Thursdays to prayer. That's interesting today because Armin in the promo I entitled it Lex Orandi, Lex Credenti, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. So everything really begins with prayer. That's interesting. If you the reading today on this this is the first day. Yesterday was Ash Wednesday, By the way, we did the ashes on the forehead, used the cotton. Some people didn't want the cotton. They just wanted it. So it was beautiful. Just a good turnout. We had 8:30 mass. Well, you were in the morning.
It was in the morning.
The evening masses were packed.
I watched it online.
Did you see the people?
I didn't see the people.
No, because they didn't show the people. No. But it was 7 o'clock. The music was beautiful, too. It was very, very nice.
Yeah.
It was a very solemn, just a very beautiful. Ash Wednesday is just a beautiful time of the year. It's a beautiful day of the year, and it leads us into this penitential season so needed right now. But today, in the Mass throughout the world, the Catholic world, we read from the book of Deuteronomy and think prayer as I read this. So Moses, he said to the people, today, I have set before you life and prosperity, death and doom. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today, loving him and walking in his ways and keeping his commandments, statutes, and decrees, you will live and grow numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to occupy. So this is as they're coming out of the desert for 40 years, right? They're in the desert. And you will live and grow numerous. And the Lord God said, we will bless you in the land you are entering to occupy. If, however, you turn away your hearts and will not listen, but are led astray and adore and serve other gods, I tell you now that you will certainly perish. I call heaven and earth today to witness against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life, then, that you and your descendants may live by loving the Lord your God, heeding his voice, holding fast to him, for that will mean life for you and long life for you to live on the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's the key is that we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice, and that choice has to be renewed every day. Every Holy Mass is renewing that covenant with the Lord. It's choosing life. It's choosing to be obedient to the commandments of God. It's choosing to bend our knee and adore the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who revealed himself in Jesus Christ, in Jesus, through Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, to the Father, right? And this is, if we're led astray and serve other gods, if we're guilty of any kind of idolatry, then basically we're saying no to God. And so he says, rightfully, so I set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. You make the choice. It's you're free. You know, we have to be free, because if we weren't free, we couldn't really say that. God's love is about freedom, right? Otherwise, it's not love. It's we're free to accept or reject. If we accept, we choose life. If we reject God, then we choose death. And death comes in a wide variety of ways, right? Mm-hmm. In the course of a life. And we all know that from our own experiences, that when we make bad decisions or we put God to the side, then, you know, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. The gospel on this Sunday, we're going to hear this, and it as I was reflecting on this, I thought, wow, this is a beautiful analogy or metaphor for prayer. Because the gospel—it's a very short gospel this year, this is year B in the liturgical cycle. But the gospel simply says the Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. So, as I say, in my opinion, this image of Jesus in the desert is a very striking analogy for prayer. Now, the Catechism speaks of prayer as the great mystery of our faith. Without prayer, we have no relationship with Christ. As long as we are in the here and the now of this world, prayer remains a mystery because we are in the exile. We were made by God, made for God. We're not condemned to the desert of this life, but we're destined for eternity in communion with God and communion with those who die in God's grace or God's friendship. We're created for God. You know, prayer is nurturing that communion, that relationship. You know, so when we say that we're in the exile, some people may find that offensive, but in reality, that's the case, isn't it? We're not meant to be here forever. We're wayfarers. We're pilgrims. We're on the journey. We're loved into life, but because of original sin, of course, there is disorder. We're in a disordered world, but God is the means to safeguard ourselves from the disorder and live in order. But even so, because people choose not life but death, not the culture of life but the culture of death, we're all affected. You know, we're all affected. That's why we're not condemned to be here forever. We're destined for eternity. But we have to take and use well the time that's been given us to do what? But to do the will of God. And the only way to do the will of God or to know the will of God is through prayer. Again, the gospel, Jesus, the Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert. Again, he remained in the desert 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among, and I like this, wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Jesus often sought out lonely places to pray, the desert, the wilderness, the top of a mountain, or the infamous Garden of Gethsemane. Even so, wherever he was and with whomever he found himself, he prayed unceasingly and taught us to do the same, to pray without ceasing, to pray constantly. And we'll talk about that as we go along. But the two great longings in the heart of Jesus were to redeem us, to save us, and to bring us to the Father. As we were destined for the Father. His own longing for his return to the Father was at the center of his prayer. So he lived the exile. He was away from the Father in the flesh. He took our sins to himself. He didn't spare himself anything of what we suffer. And he came for these two reasons, primarily to redeem us and bring us to the Father. And of course, to reinforce the laws of God and how we're to live our lives. As the gospel reveals to us, Jesus was not spared the sufferings and the struggles of this life. So in the midst of the wild beasts and the loneliness and dryness of the desert, he remained receptive to the will of his Father, and the angels ministered to him. And if we remain receptive and open to the Holy Spirit, we will be ministered to as well. Heaven is closer to us than we are to ourselves. But as St. Augustine reminds us, due to the exile, our hearts are not at rest until they rest in God. So none of this should be a surprise to us, right? You know, the unrest in life, the reality of desert. You know, because if we're looking for spiritual high, always to be on. You know, I always say we're not flying high, but if it's about feelings, it's about what we feel, then we're going to be terribly disappointed, because much of life is work. Life is work, period. Life is, you know, we're drawn into the desert. It's in the desert when in the dryness of prayer that the roots go deep, because it's a test to the faith, right? Or if we pass through the dark night of the soul. But it's keeping faith in God. And it means that we've got to pray without expecting to feel anything. If we do, if God gives us consolation, then we thank God for that. But as all the saints have taught us, as Jesus shows us in his own life, if we allow ourselves you know, it's not even that we allow ourselves, but I guess it's accepting the reality of the desert, you know, when there's dryness or when God seems far away. If we learn, as the saints have taught us, to wait on God and to live, to understand that longing for God, to understand, as St. Augustine said, that we're not going to rest until we rest in God, then we learn to learn to accept, and we're not so much bothered by that, but we learn to wait, to wait on God, and in the meantime, to be in the work of life, obedient to the commandments of God, as just read from the book of Deuteronomy. So we're not spared the sufferings and the struggles of this world. We are, in a sense, in the midst of, it's an analogy, right? Metaphorically speaking, in the midst of wild beasts, and there's loneliness and dryness. But if we're receptive and open to the Holy Spirit, we will be ministered to as well. God knows his own. You know, it's interesting that sacred scripture says more than 1,000 times that it is the heart that prays. If the heart is far from God, the words of our prayer are in vain. Just think about that. That the 1,000 times, more than 1,000 times in Scripture, it says it's the heart that prays. And if the heart is far from God, the words of our prayer are in vain. I always say, you know, that when at funerals, and I try to remind people that, you know, to take a look at what's in your heart and ask yourself, is God there? Because if God is there, then you're in a good place. You know, and again, that doesn't mean, you know, that you feel this kind of a spiritual high, but it means that you're conscious of God, that you're sensitive to God, sensitive to your responsibilities in life. You have a sensitivity to sin, that there's this healthy guilt when we deviate, when we move away from God. And the heart, what is the heart? But the heart is the inner chamber. The inner sanctuary. It's the hidden center. It's beyond the grasp of reason. It's a mystery, really, isn't it? Only God can fathom the heart and know it fully. The heart is a place of decision, deeper than our psychic drives. It's a place of truth where we choose life or death. That goes back to the reading, right?
Mm-hmm.
I give you, you know, you choose life or death. Are you with me? Jesus would say, are you with me? Or are you against me? If you're, are you hot or are you cold? If you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. Because he needs us to be, it's God's need for us to be in right relationship with God so that we can be in right relationship with others. And even in the adversity of life, that we've got the Spirit of God working in us and through us, to help each other through. You know, we have a responsibility to one another. So it's it's the place of truth, the heart, where we choose life or death. It's the place of encounter with God, the place of the covenant, an alliance, the bond. And so in the exile of this world, the heart is the place of mutual encounter. As the Catechism teaches, and the saints have taught us, God seeks us, we seek God. It's a mutual quest. And of course, our search is fully revealed in Christ, through whom we have access to the Father, again, by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So the encounter is mystically and most pointedly experienced in the Holy Eucharist, because that's where God really comes to us mystically through the, again, going back to the Old Testament, which was a prefiguration for the Eucharist, the hidden manna from the book of Revelation, but the mysterious bread made known to us, but unknown to others, right? And so this is, as Catholics, this is a great gift that we have. This is where we have this encounter mystically and most pointedly with God in the Holy Eucharist, where he actually feeds us with himself, because we offer, we give that our assent, our consent. We renew the covenant. We place ourselves on the altar in union with Christ, through Christ to the Father, and then we're fed with the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Christ to get back into the mission as his emissaries, his ambassadors, which is really what we were. We heard that yesterday in the readings at on Ash Wednesday, that we are ambassadors, and part of the Lenten penitential season is to be renewed in that mission, you know, to acknowledge that we are disciples, emissaries, ambassadors. It's as Christ, as it were, living in us and through us. But for that to happen, we've got to be a praying people, and it means our heart has to be disposed and open for this prayer. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll continue this little exhortation on prayer. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDC.
You are invited to a series of Father Anthony's reflections on prayer entitled Lex Orandi, Lex Credendi, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. These reflections will be presented each Thursday during Lent, beginning today on Winds of Change. Join us at noon, weekdays on AM 750. You can also download the podcast and listen anytime to Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan Lukowska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm just beginning today this little exhortation on prayer, which will carry us through Lent, certainly on Thursdays, but maybe some other. We always talk about prayer anyway.
Right.
I mean, prayer is life. You know, it's like the air. You can't see the air, but you can't live without it. If you suck all the air out of this room, we die.
We'd know it then, right?
We'd know it then, yeah. And prayer, for me, that's a kind of another analogy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the air we breathe. You know, it's breathing in the Spirit of God. It's having that heart turned always toward the Lord. Now, while the Mass is the highest place of encounter, as we make our way toward the Father, we're called to live each day in the habit or the discipline of prayer. And when Jesus says, you know, pray constantly, he says, you know, go into your inner chamber, shut the door, and pray to your Father. And he says, you don't have to say anything. Your Father already knows. But it's having that heart turned toward God and trusting that the Lord is closer to me than I am to myself.
I always think about that. You don't have to say anything because your Father knows. In my prayer life too, sometimes I have those moments where it's, Lord, I don't know. You know, I don't know how to express, but I think that really is one of the keys to when you talk about prayer all the time. As long as you know to come to that point where it's like, Lord, I don't know.
Right.
Hear me, or just, you know, let me know that you're there.
Yeah.
And not that I have to have that feeling of, oh, here you go, my son. No, just that I'm thinking I think that's what brings us closer. Even for, and I think of those people because I hear this all the time. Well, you know, how do you pray, or what do you need to do? Tell me exactly. Do I have to have words? Do I not? People are in life. It's so, you're doing so many things. You know, you don't know. I can't really tell. Well, we have an idea what people do. It's just, I think it's more or less that making the time for this, thinking that this is important. No, and that's what I think you, when you talk about what is on your heart. If Jesus is always in your heart, then you're always thinking of him.
Because I think people have this notion of prayer, and there is certainly it's important to have formal prayer.
Right.
So you have time, because it helps you know, to pray unceasingly when you spend time, when you make time. Right. For prayer, just as in a marriage, you're married, you know, that you and your wife spend time together. You know, you've got work to do, you've got a lot of stuff to do, and but there needs to be. That's why in the old days, I hope it happens. It still would happen in homes, but people would gather around the table. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about Sundays when I was really small. Just a child, you know, it really was the holy day. It was a Sabbath, yeah. And stores were closed, restaurants were closed, and you always had the big family dinner, and everybody, you know, gathered around the table, and you spent time with each other, and that's how you get to know each other, you know. And so we need that formal time to, we have to create that time. This is time that I allot this time to God. This is time that I give to God. People sometimes create their own little sanctuary in their own homes. We keep our doors open so people can find that time here in the church 24/7. The doors are open, but it's not just so people have that idea. You know, I've got to be kneeling. I have to have my hands folded. I have to really be focused. And yeah, we want to be focused, but we'll get all into the battle of prayer and the challenges to prayer and all that, but prayer is something that should be the most natural thing we do. Yeah. And Saint Therese of Lisieux said, yes, she says that as she described or defined prayer as a surge of the heart, a simple. Just think about this: a simple look toward heaven, a cry of recognition and love, embracing both trial and joy. This is a beautiful definition of prayer. Just the surge of the heart, a simple look toward heaven, a cry of recognition and love, embracing both trial and joy. You know? It's interesting. As I mentioned here before the radio, my mother was diagnosed. She's got COVID and she's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I just got the word this morning. She's 88 years old. So naturally, you know, I feel this anxiety and this concern. She's in Florida. I'm here. I've got 7 brothers and sisters down there. Nobody can see her, you know. I know about this, and I hear this from so many others, but it's one of those things. It's very you feel powerless to do anything. And I was in the chapel, and it just, what do? You pray and you surrender this to God. I mean, I can't, you know, I could. Well, Saint Augustine said that man is a beggar before God, you know. A beggar before God. It's in a sense, it's true. So that's why the key to prayer is humility. Prayer is God's gift to us, and it's our gift to Him. Again, it's a mutual quest. God seeking man, man seeking God, and it's through prayer. It doesn't come from pride. But from a humble and a contrite heart. And so the prayer's foundation is humility. And St. Paul reminds us that we are ready to receive the gift of prayer only when we acknowledge we do not know how to pray as we ought, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, you know, I think this morning But I've learned this. But you know, it's like when you say, you know, I saw that they had been trying to call, but I didn't. I don't keep the phone with me, and I caught it in the email, and it was just like a shock to the system. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to my sister, and you know, you go to the chapel, and you just, well, what do? You know, you've got to surrender. You've got to it's realizing that there's things we can't control. And yes, we ask God for so many things, and we are, and thank God, God allows us to be beggars before God, as St. Augustine said, which means that, you know, it's okay, because we there are things we just can't control. But then there's a limit to what we can, you know, there's a point where you've just got to let go and just say, I give it to you, God. And, you know, I place my mother in your hands. I call the Blessed Mother. I was praying. I just said, you know, just manifest yourself to my mother, to the family. I really don't know that I've said it so. I mean, I've prayed for the parish and all that, but to, you know, you think of your mother and how many have been through this. You can't go see them. I'm far away, but the family can't see them. So she's alone, she's not alone. She's with the nurses and doctors and all that. But what's going on? What's going through her mind? And so you kind of beg, you know, to Our Lady. I said, you know, just make yourself known to her, you know. And I have to put my trust that, you know, that God and the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin, will. And I say that to people all the time. But it's being a beggar before God. It's having, as Saint Therese said, just in the surge of a heart. A look to heaven, a cry of recognition and love. I acknowledge you, God. I love you, God. I embrace this trial, this joy, whatever it may be. And then we, each of us, do as the book of Deuteronomy said, we, in choosing God, we obey the commandments and we try to live as God wants us to live. And what's interesting, it's not so much the gift we seek, but rather the giver of the gift. That has to be, and I think it often, so that even at the end of all things, what really matters, again, as I say, you know, I often say at funerals, when when we die, we take with us only what's in our heart. And so it's a question we have to ask ourselves every day: is God in my heart? Is my heart turned toward God, toward heaven? And that's the simple prayer, this consciousness of this mystery, the God we do not see, but who has revealed himself and who comes to us mystically through the sacraments and through the Word of God, but that we can, you know, acknowledge this, that we've come from someone. We were created out of love. You know, we were loved into life and we're destined for God. We're not meant to be here forever. But Christian prayer is Christian insofar as it is communion with Christ, which extends throughout the church, which is his body. And so we have this, if we're conscious of Christ, we have this communion. We're nurturing that communion with God through prayer. I just have this, again, very simply, having the heart turned toward him, then, you know, we'll have the grace to weather the storms. In fact, I've mentioned these words before. Actually, I use it as a title of the, it's part of the, under the title of the last chapter of my book on apocalyptic awakening, but the words of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, which relates to the image of Christ that we're going to hear this Sunday in the desert. Christ goes into the desert, moved by the Spirit, and it and the nature of our journey through life in the exile. And St. Cyril said that the dragon sits by the side of the road watching those who pass. Beware lest he devour you. We go to the Father of souls, but it is necessary to pass by the dragon, you know? I love that quote for some reason because it goes right back to that, the gospel. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert. He remained in the desert 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, but the angels ministered to him. And so we're in this valley of tears. We're in the exile, the desert of life. And yet, you know, God blesses us in so many wonderful ways. But you never know from one day to the next what news you're going to get, what's going to happen. You know, as we heard yesterday in the reading, you know, now is the appointed time. We're ambassadors of God, as if God is appealing to us in order to make himself known in the world for the sake of salvation in this time, this is the appointed time. Today is the appointed time. We may not have tomorrow, you know, so it just makes sense that we would keep our eyes on the Lord. If we pray with the heart, we have the assurance that as the angels ministered to Jesus, we too will be sustained and our prayer will bear fruit in the sanctification and the salvation of our souls and those of others. So that's kind of the first little exhortation on prayer. I don't know if you have any, we've got just 2 minutes here, I think, but...
No, I mean, it's something when you think of prayer too, because I think even, you know, being silent, trying to find that silence, and I think a lot of even the things you've said come up in that time. You know, it's you're right. You don't know what tomorrow is. You don't know what news you're going to get, but I think God prepares you for that. God prepares you, especially if you try to know him, if you try to reach out and Lord, look, even if it's a matter of, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do.
Exactly.
Help me, Lord.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Again, those simple little prayers, you know, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Yeah.
Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Speak, Lord, your servant listens. Come, Holy Spirit. Those are those simple little prayers we can pray over and over and over and over again. So these little prayers help us to have that. Yeah. It's a way of...
It's like a stepping stone.
Yeah, the heart is turned toward God. Life is a mystery. As I started out, or as the catechism says, the great mystery of our faith is prayer. It is prayer. Mm-hmm. But I know for myself, I trust you do too, and I think many people listening... it's inconceivable to me that a day could go by when we don't think about God,
right,
when we're not somehow, meditating, thinking, contemplating, reflecting, weathering the storms, but God in all things, in the good and the bad, the happy, the sad, the peaks and the valleys, life and death, light and darkness. You know, again, the Lord never, ever deceived us. Never deceived us.
And with this Lenten season, it's always good for me because I always like to walk with Jesus. I mean, I found it, especially during Lent,
absolutely,
to walk with Jesus.
Absolutely. So, and everybody, we'll end there. Yeah, let's have our hearts turned toward the Lord. Walk with the Lord. He's closer to us than we are to ourselves. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
words that you say when right.